Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
It's a great idea. Christopher has asked a terrific question, which is he's a 36-year-old dude with a 73-year-old dad, and he's saying, okay, how do I transition in being, instead of father and son, or especially teenage son, how do I transition into a more mature relationship, which is a really important, relevant question, because if you don't do it, then as your parent gets older and fails and gets more vulnerable, so they become childlike. And if you think dealing with an adult parent when you're an adult is difficult, wait till they become childlike, and then you have to deal with them. And they're smarter. I mean, they've had all those extra years on the planet. And it just is awful and chaotic. So it's a really important thing to begin working through part of the language. In some ways, that Christopher, your question is very similar to Kathy's. And it's not, I think, accidental that the two of you are at about the same stage in your life, where the idea is that we're trying to move from parent-child to friends. And it's never going to be completely equal, because a parent will say, I'm your father, you know, you can't talk to me like that. And we'll still feel that sense of trying to please our parent, no matter how old we get. But there are ways of dealing with it. Christopher, you mentioned that, and I said the car is really a trigger, I think, point for both of you, because it's so symbolic that you're saying, he's got three cars, how come I can't have one? And I'm saying, he probably wouldn't loan one of his friends the car either. And so when you're negotiating and you feel like you're being dropped off at the mall, which puts him, you can only go so far, and it's like being a teenager of having a parent who's a chaperone. Okay, you're home by curfew, and it feels terrible. If it's any comfort to you, I can give you an example. I went home when my dad was still alive and went to visit. And at one point we're sitting at the dining room table, and he clicked his fingers together and circled his index finger, which meant I was to get up and clear the table, which is what he did when I was, yes, thank you, about 12 years old. And I just started laughing, and I said, Dad, I don't live here, and I'm not the maid, and I'm not 12 anymore. I think I actually cleared the table. But, you know, that it was at least saying no. But on his turf, with his child, and if at some point you have kids, what you're going to understand is when you look at your kids, you see them as much younger. At one point, my father said, so how much money do you make? And I said, well, I'll tell if you will. And he said, how dare you talk to me that way? So it is always a negotiation. And the reason it's so tricky at this stage, but why it's so important, is it's important to negotiate. Well, the parent, first of all, still has some power, but sees some advantage in giving up the power. Because that's really what you're asking, of how do I convince my dad to give up that incredibly powerful role of being in charge? And the answer is there has to be something in it for him, which is why I'm saying plan something that both of you like to do on neutral turf. Because then there's a huge advantage to it. And it never hurts to underline what the advantage is. And so we were talking about the car, and you need to hang in a little bit longer, because his instant response is, my house, my rules, you're my kid, I'll drop you off. So let's get to issue number two, which is, do I tell my parents, do I lie? And I think, first of all, that our parents have had so much more experience figuring out when we're lying to them than we have lying to them, that it's a sucker bet. The likelihood of getting away with it, yeah, it's just not very high. And, you know, and we all have tells, and they've known our tells. They changed our diapers. They know our tells. So it's not, but I think what you can say is, Dad, look, again, with the idea being there has to be something in it for him. Of, you know, I'm going to go visit some friends. You don't have to necessarily mention that it's going to be in town. But I'd really love to take you and mom out for dinner. Or I'd love for us to, you know, maybe, and you can see why neutral turf becomes more and more important. Because on neutral turf, you're not going to go visit your high school buddies because they're not there on neutral turf. And if they live in other cities, then it's not an issue because you're not seeing your dad. It's when they're banged up against living in the same neighborhood that you're going to run into trouble. The other way of doing it is if you're going to be there a week, of saying, Dad, look, I figure I'd love to spend Sunday and Monday night with you and Mom, and then I'm going to take a couple of days and go visit high school friends, and you may not want to use the house as the sort of the stomping ground, because then again, it's going to get you back into being the teenage boy who just comes home to sleep. And that's going to bring up all those issues for him again. So taking either some time at the beginning, some time at the end, or even some time in the middle, but making it clear that you're coming to see him specially to do special things with him.
Okay. When I saw my when my stepsister and her husband came a couple years ago, we were together over Thanksgiving. They took, you know, they were there for a few nights, and they took one night to go, and they're not even his kids. They took one night to go down to the resort part of town, and they stayed in a hotel down there, and which I thought was fair for one night. And he just went on and on about how objectionable that was. So I have these fears that if I tried to do that myself, you know,
two things, babes. First of all, I would sort of engage him in the discussion, because that's how we move this relationship into different territory of saying, how long were they there, first of all?
Sort of Thanksgiving. It's probably about 4 days total. So one night, one day down in downtown area.
All right, here's one of the ways of dealing with it. Of saying, instead of saying, gee, Dad, there's several ways of dealing. One is to say, would you rather they have lied to you about it? I mean, that's one way of doing it. Or that they love to see you, but they really wanted some time apart. Here's the most effective way of doing it. Dad, when you and Mom were young and had to go visit the grandparents, did you ever feel like you wanted to just take a day and go someplace? Dun, dun, dun. You got it. Because one of you're only gonna, there are only two possible answers. One is, yeah, at which point they get it. The other is no, of we couldn't afford it, or that we saw your mom so infrequently, or whatever. But any way you do it, by putting him back in your stepsister's shoes, you're going to have a whole different perspective, and most importantly, he'll have a whole different perspective.
Because
that's really what we're talking about. And so that will also work with the issue about, gee, Dad, when you went to visit your folks. And again, you're going to have to fill in the details here, because I don't know, maybe they live next door, so you're going to have to figure out when they wanted to buy the car or whatever. But you know family history, and I don't, of saying, you know, how did you deal with your dad about this?
Mm.
It's an incredibly powerful tool, because it moves them out of that, of defending a position. Let me just quickly, at one point, my mom would only call me when somebody died. And so whenever my mom called, I'd pick up the phone, and I finally, after a while, said, okay, who died? I guess it was two events. That was first of all, that she never called to say, how you doing, kid? She's got a lot of kids, but still. And the other was that she was critical of my daughter. And I finally said two things, and this was kind of I guess they were both the beginning of the transition. And I said, Mom, I love you. You're my only mom I'll ever have. But if the price of admission of dealing with you is you criticizing my kid, you weren't crazy about it when your mom criticized you or my grandmother's criticized you. So that was instantly putting her back. You know, how did it feel when somebody told you what a lousy parent you were? And I said, I won't stop loving you, but I'm not going to deal with you very often if every time I deal with you I have to defend my daughter. And second, you never called up to find out how I'm doing. It's always because somebody died, and which makes me feel that you're, first of all, only bad news, and second of all, we're not very interested in what's going on with me. The following weekend, she called me and said, how you doing, honey? And I said, I'm doing great, Mom. Who died? And she said, I just called up to see how you're doing. So I had to make the transition, too. It does happen. Let me put you on hold for just another minute and we'll walk through this. But the point is, it's not a switch. It's a process. All right? But you can begin the process. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Advice for Life with Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, we're talking with Christopher, and we're talking about that really important thing of transitioning from being child to a parent to being, if not a co-equal, because I'm not sure co-equality is really ever feasible. I'm not even sure that it's advisable, because I just don't think it's practical, but at least working out a working relationship with your parent that is respectful of both. And I think that the bottom line, Christopher, is respectful of saying, look, I matter. I matter on a phone call, or I matter on sharing the responsibilities on a trip. I matter on how I spend my time. I matter on what we talk about or how willing I am to be criticized. So, I think it's a process rather than an event. Which so it means we got to be kind of a little bit patient about it, but not. And when your dad says, "No, I'll drop you off," say, "Dad, if your dad had dropped you off, how would it have felt?"
Right. You are correct that meeting in a neutral third location would work really well. Because last year we did that where I did fly out to where he lived, but then we took a road trip to the next state and went to some national parks. And that was actually surprisingly probably the best time we've ever had.
Well, but not surprising, and you can hear why. It's not nobody's in charge.
Yep.
And it's an experience that both of you are sharing simultaneously. So it's not like he's been in the neighborhood for 40 years or that he remembers what you did in that neighborhood, that it's a brand new experience for both of you.
Right. And he still didn't relinquish control of the car the whole time. But
I was just going to mention whose car we took. But one of the possibilities is renting a car as opposed to using his.
Right.
And switching off on who drives.
That's right.
Yep. But you hear it's a process.
It's a process
for him, it's a process for you as well. Because your assumption of, well, if it's his car, it's my car, is adolescent. I mean, it's not, I don't mean that pejoratively. I just mean that if he wouldn't loan it to his friend, then why would he loan it to you? And you're saying, well, but I'm his son. But I'm saying, nah, but, we're trying to offset that sense of expectation about how fathers and sons behave, because the role of son right now is limiting for you. So you can't use it when you want to and then not use it when you don't want to. It's got to be consistent.
Okay. Do you think he realizes that the things have changed, or is he just treating me he's clean?
Probably a little bit of both. Because if the change benefits him, it was really interesting to hear the difference between how my father talked to his friends about me and how he talked to me about me. Because, and I didn't know it because I wasn't around when he talked to his friends, but I would run into him and they'd say, "Oh, your dad just is so proud of you. And he talks about you all the time." And what he would say to me is, I'd say, "Dad, I got licensed, I'm now I can practice any place." And he said, "So can somebody else who has $25 in Cheerios box top?" So there was clearly a double set of rules in his head. One is attention must be paid. I'm the dad. She's the kid. And I got a little chauvinism thrown in there, which you don't presumably have to deal with. You have ageism, but not sexism. I had the sexism as well. But then understanding that there was a part of him that really acknowledged the change. I think my father thought I was a big deal for the first time when I was on Oprah, because that was some kind of acknowledgement of something. I guess it was public as much as anything else. I think it's hard for parents to acknowledge their kid being presumably a co-equal. Sometimes it's not only that they're a co-equal, it's that they've surpassed them. That they're better educated or they're stronger, and especially as parents begin to age into that downward slope. So you can hear why it becomes even more crucial to do this before he hits that downward slope, before he can't hear, before he can't remember as much, before he stops working. And your dad, your dad's a little older than kind of the average bear in some ways for being a dad. I mean, usually there's a 20 to 25 year, and you're talking 30-some years here. But the point being that, well, dad is going to be probably much more accepting of what you do for a living when he still has a living as opposed to retirement. But if the retirement, then what you need to do as somebody who's trying to have him acknowledge what you do is focus on what his successes were. So the idea is, that we negotiate so somebody doesn't feel threatened by us. And the way for them not to feel threatened is that we acknowledge their strengths, that we pay homage, we say thank you, And we also are willing, even if we don't feel it in the marrow of our bones, to say, I learned this from you. And that's a hard thing sometimes for young adults to say. And I can remember my mom, we would be at a dinner party that was honoring me, and she would just turn to somebody at the top of her lungs and say, everything she knows, I taught her. And while she may or may not have meant it as a joke, there was a time in my life where I would be trying to restrain myself from going for her jugular of thinking, the hell are you doing? I mean, I have all these things that you've never even heard about. But what I sort of understood at some point was that was her saying, please pay attention to me. That, you know, that I love my daughter, I'm proud of my daughter, but I need some attention too. And once you understand that, then you can give it to them generously and without recrimination, and the relationship works better. Because in the same way that I was saying on my part of still being an adolescent, of I need for you to be proud of me. And once I could say, look, you know, if I don't need to go for parental approval, then that statement has no value one way or the other. It's neither negative or positive. And so I can either go to other people who will be proud of me and acknowledge my accomplishments or acknowledge it myself. But if I don't need it from her, then I'm not going to be mad at her when she refuses to offer it. So it's a negotiation on both sides. And we're more aware of what our parents aren't doing, but understand that from their point of view, we're taking power away from them. And they have to be compensated or they're not going to give it up. Okay.
All right.
This is probably
a bit,
you're welcome. It's probably more of a philosophical discussion than you anticipated. But you can hear, once you understand the concepts, then any particular behavior becomes much more straightforward, much more predictable, much more understandable. You know exactly what to do next.
Yeah.
All right, so when you're dealing with your dad, neutral turf, understand that he's having to give something up to acknowledge you as an adult, which means you're going to have to offer him something that works for him that's worth doing that. Because role of parent is an enormously powerful one. You're welcome. Okay? All righty, folks, so now you know exactly how to deal with your parent. Dum, dum, dum. All right, 855-99-37569. That's what I thought. I have about several seconds here. We come back, we'll have about a half hour to go, and I will tell you about the DVDs that are coming out this week. And anything at all that's on your mind, we will entertain in the next half hour. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Walland Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Walland Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall and Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Great idea, 855-99-37569. Okay, Manny, we have not done an email for a while.
This is true.
I know, shocking. So you want to do one here?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
This email is from Jessica. Jessica says, "Hi, Dr. Joy. I'm emailing because... I work when your show is on the radio, but I download the podcast and listen to them.
Bless your heart.
I have a question, and I feel a little embarrassed having to ask. I'm 27 years old, very happily married, but I don't seem to have a lot of friends. I have two very close girlfriends. We've known each other since we were little kids, but life and college has taken us separate ways. And even though we talk on the phone several times a week and visit once or twice a year, one lives in Texas and one lives in Mississippi, and I live in Michigan. When the weekend rolls around, we can't spend time together, and I find myself a little lonely. My husband and I spend a lot of time together as we share a couple of hobbies, and I have two brothers whom I'm close with. But sometimes it's nice to just be able to go out with the girls. But I don't know how to meet new people. I work part-time, but I'm the only employee. I don't drink, so I don't hang around. So I don't hang out in bars. I'm not really sure what else kids my age do. I was hoping maybe you will have some suggestions. If need be, I could come on the show and answer questions if I knew what time you'd be available, or if this email is enough information. Eventually, I will hear it when listening to the podcast. Thank you so much in advance.
Well, you're welcome in advance. I'll tell you what, I'll answer the questions now, and you can listen to them on the podcast, and understand that you can call me. What you can do is you can either call us between 12 and 3 and then arrange a time that would be really good. So we can call you back. One of the things you can do on the machine, I think, Manny, the machine still takes messages, right? If people call when I'm not here?
I think so. I think it does too.
We need to check that to make sure. But in the past, especially when I talked about it a lot, people would call up and say, could you call me between 12 and 1 or between 12:30 and 1 o'clock? Eastern or whatever, and so when we possibly can, we will, because I know that people listen at different times and are at work, and the idea being that being put on hold for a while is not very appealing. So if you want to call when we're not here, or even when we're here, and just say, could you call me? And Manny's had people who said, I can't talk to her right now, or we'll call an hour before the program and say, I can't talk to her right now, but can you call me back at 2 o'clock? Which we can do, ordinarily. I mean, every once in a while, we obviously can't call you in the middle of a call, but we can usually accommodate you pretty readily. And if we can't, we can let you know that we can't accommodate you. So that's number one. If whatever I give you now isn't sufficient, that's how you can sort of make an appointment. We'll do house calls. Okay. I think you're right that. That it's very easy to make friends when we're in school, whether the school is elementary school or junior high school or college or even graduate school. Graduate school a little iffier because usually not on campus as much, because you've got people who are the same age with the same interest in the same situation doing the same thing. And that's the proximity and communality of interest are certainly the basis of a lot of friendships. And you're right that once marriage and college intervene and people get scattered, thank goodness for the phone, thank goodness for email, thank goodness for texting. But it's not the same. And that I know a lot of people say that their spouse is their best friend, which is fine. But again, best friend doesn't mean only friend. And every once in a while, it's nice for him to have a male friend that he can go and have a beer with, or for you to have a female friend that you can go to a movie with. So I'm a great fan of friendships, number one. Number two, what you want to do, it's very interesting to me. It reminds me of one of my clients when I first started as a therapist. I said to her, well, what do you want to do? And so she made me a whole list of all the things she didn't want to do. And she could be very specific about that. When I asked her what she wanted to do, she wasn't. And the problem about that is if you're specific about what you don't want to do, because you're specific, that's what you end up doing. So think about situations you like to be in. I know that you say you don't drink, and that's certainly fine. But think about a volunteer activity. Think about, and it can be anything. It can be working at a hospital. It can be feeding the homeless. It can be reading to kids on Saturdays. It can be cleaning up a park. It can be working for a vet. It could be anything. So something that you enjoy doing, number one. Number two, exercise places are great places to meet people of like-minded issues. I've always said it's not a bad place for dating because there's most people are in lycra and spandex, so there's truth in advertising there. But to a large extent, the kind of classes that we're talking about are women, so men don't necessarily like to do those kinds of things because they feel that they're not as coordinated and they're klutzier. Occasionally, I've taken a date to a class. It's almost without exception a disaster. If nothing else, I've been taking the classes longer, and so even though that they may be stronger, that I know the routine, so not a great idea. But exercise classes to find female friends. Taking an adult education class, not a bad idea for you and your husband, because part of what you may be looking for not only is a friend for you, but other couples with whom you can do things together. So some of these things you're probably going to want to do by yourself, And when your husband's doing other stuff, especially at work, some of the things you may want to do as a couple so that you run into other couples who share similar interests. There's also the internet is terrific. There's something called, I think, Meetup, which is not a dating site. It's just people getting together to do any one of a number of things, and it includes going to museums or, I mean, some of them are going to bars, but some of them are going to restaurants. Some of them are, as I mentioned, cleaning up parks. Some of them are walking tours of particular areas. So if and even if you don't find exactly what you want in your area, you can start something of saying, let's go to the planetarium on Friday night. Or around here, there's actually, I have some friends who, he's an astronomer. So he'll every once in a while he'll send out an email blast that say, all right, that Mercury is going to be retrograde and we'll be able to see the moons of Venus. So come on over on Friday night. And so that happens. Organizing in your neighborhood of having a yard sale, getting everybody on the block to do a joint yard sale, which means you're going to meet your neighbors a bit more, or a picnic. There was one other thing I was going to mention. I think I'm in adult education classes, which is taking a subject that you're interested in. When you have kids, there tends to be the issue of you're spending time with other moms. And so kids can be a great source of communality. But figure out things that you enjoy doing. And at very least, even if you don't have kids, for example, being a den mother or a Girl Scout leader means you're going to meet parents of the kids who are there. Joining the PTA, again, if you have kids. Church groups, religious groups in general, are great places to meet people. But figure out things that you enjoy doing, and then just be a little bit outgoing, because you really can meet any people anywhere once you decide not to be too shy about it. It's one of my favorite stories about friendship, because it's so antithetical to who I am. When I first moved to San Francisco, it was, I was working nights, which is not, it's better than working overnights, which is I did when I moved to first moved to New York. But I was working nights, so I had days free. I really didn't know anybody. I was having custody issues. And so, I was kind of lonely. And I had a job, because I wouldn't move any place without a job. And one of the women who was on television, she was very pretty, and she and I would share, because we got off the air at the same time, and they were very serious. When I was first working there, we were working in the worst part of the city. It was very dangerous. And so the guard would wait till both of us were off the air and then walk us both to either a car or a cab or whatever. So we got to know each other because we were on the same shift. And she said to me one night when I was first there, I'd only been there maybe a week or two at most, and she said, I don't really have any friends. Would you like to be friends? And I was so touched. I mean, it turns out that we really didn't have very much in common, which is obviously the basis of adult friendships. But I was so touched by her vulnerability of saying, first of all, saying, I don't really have any friends. And second of all, being willing to reach out, that we really did hang out for a long time together. And it just, we kind of lost track of one another once I wasn't living in San Francisco anymore, because we just really didn't. I was married and had a kid. She had never married. She didn't have any kids. She was doing television. I was doing radio. But as long as we were both in the same area and we found things to do together, but I was so impressed with both her vulnerability and her willingness to reach out to somebody that I said, sure. And you can have friends that are not necessarily, you need to make sure that you don't compare any current friendships with how it felt to be 13 and your very best friend, because we'll never feel that close to another soul, probably as long as we live, until maybe the very end of our lives, because you've got everything in common, right? And very few distractions. You're worried about boys and boobs and biology and whatever. So just be a little bit more out there. You can meet somebody at the grocery store. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
I want you to imagine a phone service that will transform the way you do business. Telesphere, the pioneer in cloud communications, is now part of Vonage, providing voice, video, and data over one of the largest private secured cloud networks. Imagine extending voice and video to all your mobile devices, plus integration with your CRM. With custom solutions for any size business, imagine no more. Visit Vonage.Telesphere.com and sign up now for free HD desk phones.
Attention! Do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've helped thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio.
We thank you for listening.
Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Talking about what really matters, your family, your relationships, your life. It's the Dr. Joy Brown Show at 855-99-DR-JOY.
It is indeed. Susie on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Howdy.
Hi, Dr. Joy Brown. So I have two questions pertaining to the same event.
Okay.
One is it appropriate to take children from 9 to 15 to a gay wedding when you're very Catholic? And they're Catholic, and they know it's wrong.
Well, whose idea is it that it's wrong? Theirs or yours?
Well, I mean, we just, because we're Catholic, we kind of instill the that the fact that a man and a woman get married and have children, and we don't really, you know, think that gay weddings are appropriate because it's against our religious beliefs. But it is my friend, my husband's friend from college who's getting married. But some people are telling me I'm going to be giving my kids mixed messages.
Well, I think you are. I think if you think it's wrong, then I think that not only do you not take your kids, I think what you do is send a lavish gift and let it go at that. Because
see, I mean, how we're kind of explaining it. Now, they live in Pennsylvania, and we have another graduation party 2 hours away in Pennsylvania the same weekend. So we decided to kind of make it into a family vacation. It's over Memorial Day weekend, and we explain it to the kids that this is, even though our religion doesn't really accept this, it's not that we don't like people who are gay. It's just we would prefer if you know. In the really Catholic religion, it's against our rules. However,
let me help you with this, because I think saying that it's wrong is, I mean, as you say, it's certainly giving them a mixed message. But if you say, here's, let me just run this by you, of in our religion, this is not okay. Even though, as you know, there are Catholic priests and there are Catholic priests who've officiated at gay weddings. So you know that. So what you can say is that the church makes rules for us. And sometimes the rules change, and sometimes people like the change, and sometimes people don't like the change. Like your school. At your school, they may say that you can't, and you know the schools, that you can't bring cupcakes to school. But then sometimes they make other rules about changing the cupcakes. So for me, that if my kind of being a Catholic is that you can only get married if you're a man and a woman. But there are other Catholics who don't believe that they think it's okay. And sometimes we make very important rules for ourselves, but we don't necessarily make rules for other people. So in some places, there are wonderful people. Some are Catholics, some are not Catholics. Some who are gay Catholics, and they found a priest that agrees that it's okay to marry them. In our particular classroom, our particular church, we don't do that, but we only make rules for ourselves. We don't make rules for other people. And I think that's an easy way, because otherwise you get into all sorts of things about my rules. And what you can say is, I don't want anybody telling me about God or religion, but the only way that that works okay is if I don't tell them either, that this is a personal kind of thing. And my personal view is thus and such. Now, as my kids, I will tell you my personal views, and then each of you get to decide what your personal views are. In this particular situation, that it's not that I think marriage has to do with a man and a woman, but these are friends, and we don't make rules for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. The way of doing that. Especially the older kid, a 9 and a 15-year-old. A 15-year-old is probably going to be smart enough to say, well, do you think it's wrong, Mom? And what you can say is, it's not okay, it's not right for me, but I don't make rules for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, well, but you make rules for us, and you can say, temporarily we do. I tell you what my rules are, and because you're still living under my roof, you get to follow my rules, but each of you, and you can probably pick a couple of situations where the 15-year-old and you don't agree about something, about how much time they should spend on homework, or how long their skirts should be, or what music they listen to, but you're allowed to have whatever rules for you that work, and because you're a parent, you're allowed to pass those rules on. But one of the things that kids are allowed to do is figure out their own rules, just like you and your parents don't agree on everything.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. You know, I do. I think that is a good approach. And then the other quick thing is, because we are still a little bit nervous about the ceremony, we were contemplating, because it's also in the backyard of their house after, so like it's a barbecue for Memorial Day after the ceremony, we were contemplating, because we have kind of talked about it like that similarly, you know, and But we're still a little bit nervous about the ceremony. Would it be weird if we leave them in the hotel room during the ceremony and then after the ceremony for, like, the celebration part, bring them to that? Because, you know, I don't want them to have, like, a...
Well, but again, I mean, the issue is going to be the same thing. And they're going to have, presumably, if they're gay and they're married, they're going to be kissing at the reception. You know, I don't know that I would do it that way. That seems to me to put you in really unstable ground. I mean, I know it makes some sense, but somebody's going to say, why weren't you at the wedding? And if these were young kids, you could say, well, they just couldn't sit still through it. But you're not talking about young kids. You know, one of the things you may want to do is ask the kids how they feel about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And you've got three kids, so you may have one that says, I'd like to go, one that says, no, I think it's going to be boring, and one who says, could repeat the question. So, and that's a way around it. And it's also a way of having a discussion and understanding where your kids are on this, because they're going to ask some questions like, well, if it's not okay for gay people to get married, is it okay for gay people to have children, and what, you know, who determines who gets to love whom? And so I'd probably have a discussion about it, about how they felt about it. But I do think the statement that says we make rules for ourselves, but we don't make rules for other people, because we don't want other people to make rules for us.
Okay. And then one more real quick question, because I know you have to go. Is there a rule of thumb on how much money to give for, like, a barbecue wedding?
Well, I mean, the rule of thumb is
400.
Yeah, well, I think rather than doing that, figure out what would be lovely to give them. And the rule of thumb, I think, used to be whatever you thought that the meal was going to cost. But as you point out, a barbecue is not terribly expensive. But rather than figuring out a dollar amount, figure out what you'd like to have them have. And maybe one of the things to do is to go to, rather than giving money, to go and see, for example, if they have a listing someplace, what they would like, so it would be from you. And I'm a great fan of things like sentimental things, of finding a lovely old silver frame that you put their picture in. And that's not going to have necessarily a monetary value. But, you know, I think when in doubt, the generosity is fine. But talk with your kids and then let me know what you guys decide and what they decide and what they say. Because I think it can be, rather than making a rule, it'll be a discussion. All righty?
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
You miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.